social. She ain't exactly pretty. Ain't exactly small. 4 2 3
Reaction with Harry Broadhurst and Tony Azzetta.
I think we are now. Tony, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. A little bit of technical difficulty on behalf of yours truly, but we are live and ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, Powerhouse Radio presents the Raw Reaction for June 2nd, 2014. Wow, we have a caller already.
Yeah. Interesting.
You want to do the call real quick?
Yeah, we're just
going to
go ahead and take it. Yeah. Who's calling in?
Hey, guys. It's Chad.
Hey, Chad Perry. What's going on?
Oh, you know, not too much. Just got finished watching Raw.
Yeah, nothing really
well,
big
happened.
Well,
that is what we're
tonight.
Here to talk about.
I called the perfect show.
It's funny because it's sarcasm.
What was that, guys?
Can you guys hear me? I'm having a bit of issues with my phone right now.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you, too.
All right, I said it's funny because it's sarcasm. Other than the main event, I would be inclined to agree with you, Chad, but, well, we kind of have to talk about what happened in the very first segment as well as the main event. So, do you want to join us for our opening bit here, Chad?
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Hey, Tony, let's talk about Raw.
Let's do it.
All right. So, the long-rumored departure of Batista finally occurred tonight, and while we kind of figured that this was going to be happening for a while, the way that they did it, they're kind of teasing a Batista babyface return. They've already tried to return him once this year as a babyface, and it didn't go so well. Do you think this will be any different, Tony? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares. It's not necessarily Batista's fault. He just decided to come back at a time where there wasn't really a place for him. So whether he comes back as a babyface or not is kind of irrelevant. I would assume that he would, pertaining to the movie that he's going to be releasing and the fact that, you know, he kind of quit. But unless he has a complete overhaul as far as the image goes, his look is the epitome of douchiness, and I don't think that he's going to get the fan backing. He got it today, but only because he quit. I don't believe that was a cheer for him to, for the fans, you know, adulating him as much as it was finally saying, well, all right, then goodbye. So, yeah, I just don't think he has a place right now.
How about you, Chad? Do you feel that Batista has a place as a babyface when he comes back to promote the Guardians of the Galaxy?
I think that if it's post movie and, you know, the kids have seen the movie and, you know, the kids do all the superhero movies, he might have a little bit of a chance. But I agree with Tony. I just don't really see them having much of a chance of pushing him as a babyface. And personally, I don't want to see him push as a baby face. I think that these last 2 months, and right around WrestleMania night, Batista's finally found his groove back, and he's been a good entertaining heel and put on some good matches. So it's kind of sad to see him go right now.
Yeah, the timing could have been a little bit better, but realistically speaking, with all the press tours and stuff, with the movie coming out here in, what, about a month, I think? Maybe a little bit less, end of this month? But yeah, the timing of it could be a little bit better. But as far as him coming back as a babyface, yeah, I'm in the same boat as you guys here. I think a lot of the main crowd that are the Daniel Bryan crowd just won't cheer for him because of everything that Batista and Orton Bryan threw on his road to WrestleMania. And even though he's not going to be on-screen affiliated with Triple H, the fact that the connection is there to him is going to be enough for most fans to still not cheer for Batista. So Batista leaves. So we have the boss of Evolution, Triple H. We have the president of Evolution, of Randy Orton. And apparently we have the future of Evolution now in Seth Rollins. Tony.
Yeah. Let's just recap for those that may not have seen Raw.
All right, you want to go over what happened real quick here? All right, main event was supposed to be Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. The Shield came down first, and all three members of the Shield talked about pitching a shutout last night at Payback. I have not had a chance to see the show. I saw the little bit of highlights that were aired on Raw. As soon as the reaction's over, I'm actually planning on watching it. I had a show in West Virginia last night, so I was personas not available. So they tease Roman Reigns and Randy Orton as the main event because they do a segment backstage where Randy Orton's talking to Renee Young, and Renee asks him what him and Triple H were talking about, and Orton tells her that he still believes in Triple H's fight and he still believes in Evolution, so he's going to go out there when Triple H gave him Roman Reigns 1-on-1. As I said, we have the Shield come down to the ring. They all three cut individual promos. And then as soon as Roman Reigns tells Orton to come down to the ring to basically get his ass kicked, Evolution's music hits, and just the two of them, Triple H and Orton, walk out, but Triple H has the sledgehammer across his shoulder. At this point, Seth Rollins rolls outside of the ring over to the timekeeper's area and grabs two steel chairs, which, in hindsight, should have been kind of a clue that something suspicious was up. Do you want to take it from there, Tony?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, Rollins turned. That's the short end of it. You know, he attacked Reigns from behind, and then he attacked Ambrose, and then he beat them both, you know, pretty brutally with a chair. The focal point here isn't so much that the Shield is now pretty much, you know, broken up, but a lot, and it's just been, what, 15, 20 minutes since this end, and we've already got complaints on, as well as positive reviews, but a lot of complaints on who they chose, how it came about, what they're going to do. Some people are waiting to see what happens as far as an explanation. Other people are saying it makes no sense. The point is, guess who's talking? Everyone. So regardless of how, whether we agree or not, which we will get to, it's very exciting because throughout Raw for this entire 3 hours, I was saying to myself, oh, this is boring. You know, it wasn't bad. It was a good Raw. It was an average Raw. But, man, did they need that end. And that's exactly what happened. Everyone's talking about it. So I was, before we get to whether we agree or not, I just want to say that I was excited about it. It was very much, it was one of those moments where you shot up and said, holy shit.
Two-part question here, guys. A, do you think it was the right choice turning Rollins? B, if the Rollins turn sticks and he ends up with Evolution, do you see it becoming a situation of a 2-on-2 feud, or does the Shield add another member? And if so, who would you guys consider to be your top prospects?
Go ahead, Chad.
I'll go with the A. And, you know, I'm going to sit on the fence here and say it's too soon to say. I am somebody who did want to see the Shield continue for a while and just, you know, be a factor in doing single things. But I think it's a good move for Rollins career-wise just to be able to get that rub off Triple H and to a certain lesser effect Randy Orton. As for the Shield adding a third member, I think we'll just see Dean and Roman slowly split off throughout the summer. You know, it looks like we're building towards Reigns versus Triple H at SummerSlam and then probably Rollins versus Ambrose. And then I think everyone kind of goes their own way. I don't see any need to add a third member to the Shield.
Yeah, I'm going to side with that. As far as the first question goes, in terms of, you know, who they chose and how it went out. I'm on board fully. The explanation, if anyone needs one, which I'm sure they'll get, is really simple. Rollins has tried to walk out on the Shield before. Granted, there hasn't been any big disagreements and whatnot, but the precipice has been set in where he has done it before. He has no shame in doing it again, apparently. As far as the Shield, it's where else can they go? When are they going to stop being a group and start being individuals? What could they possibly – when has Rollins got his opportunity, his chance to be something successful? Dean Ambrose has won the U.S. title. Reigns is seemingly on his way. Rollins is always the third man out. And as much as he's grown, nobody gives him the respect. You know, all of this, of course, is a kayfabe explanation, but it could work. It can make sense. Why not latch yourself onto the biggest boss there is? So I think that they can make it work. I'm really excited. And if it was Ambrose that was chosen, where would Rollins go? I think the upside is much larger for Rollins, because without this particular push, then he would probably be floundering in the mid-card into, you know, obscurity, whereas Ambrose is strong enough and unique enough to flourish on his own. So I think the right choice was made. Do I want to see them break up? I think they could have went on, but honestly, I think if you ask anybody, whether it be now, 5 months from now, 2 years from now, the Shield was one of those groups where they could have gone on forever. They were booked awesomely. They were taken care of. The characters are strong. So, like, it was just a matter of time. Like, there was no right time. So if they're going to do it now, they may as well do the best that they can. And I think at least for that moment tonight, they did. Everyone's talking about it, you know. As far as who I would put in, no, the Shield is dead. There's not going to be another member. There's not going to be a third person. There's not going to be a new party. It's time now to take these three superstars and make them into what they've been hounding about, the futures. And, yes, that was a pun with hound. They're the future of the WWE, so let's make them the future, especially considering we saw a glimpse of what could possibly happen with John Cena, and it really scared the shit out of me. So I'm hoping that this instead is what the future holds, as opposed to what we saw in the middle of the show.
Well, I think I'm going to agree with you guys that I don't believe that the Shield will add another member. And the reason I say that is because obviously we at the Raw Reaction have a strong association with the Yes, Yes, Yes group on Facebook. And that was one of the questions that was posed there. And to me, the two biggest members of the NXT roster that could potentially be brought up as that third member make absolutely no sense in the Shield, that being Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. The only person down in NXT that I could possibly see fitting the Shield would be Mojo Rawley, and I don't think that his ring work is up to caliber for with what the WWE has gotten going with the Shield so far, except my personal opinion on that. As far as my thoughts on Seth Rollins is turning, I think this is a wise idea, even if I didn't understand it quite at first. And the reason I say that is because of how I pointed it out earlier. Orton is now the president of Evolution, and Seth Rollins is clearly going to be set up as the future. This is a striking why the iron is hot thing with Seth Rollins, because you will have everybody talking about it on what was otherwise a pretty lackluster Raw. Not that it was a bad Raw, it's just that it was a nothing happening Raw. The other main point that happened on Raw is something that we'll get to as far as the situation with the Money in the Bank, and that's coming up a little bit later on here in the Raw Reaction. And then the other thing is every year recently, the WWE has done a major summer storyline. And I might begin to think here with the way that things went down tonight is that the implosion of the Shield might be 2014.
Yeah, I
agree, disagree?
Yeah, I could definitely see this being the big storyline that carries us through the summer. I already spoke about what I think the big SummerSlam matches will be. Then you figure we have Money in the Bank, and I think it's Battleground in July to play with. This isn't quite, as epic as, the Summer of Punk or Daniel Bryan's rise last summer, but this will still be a highly entertaining storyline to go through. The Shield versus Evolution has been a great feud already, just in the 2 months they've been feuding, so mixing things up a little bit certainly won't hurt things.
The other part of it
now,
for me as well, go ahead, Tony.
I know that Chad, him and I were messaging each other before he called in, and he said that he was just going to watch Fallout real quick. Was there anything that happened during that show pertaining to Rollins, or was it just more, you know, nothingness that we tend to get on that little 15-minute frame?
Renee Young caught up with Evolution and Rollins backstage. She tried to interview Rollins. He walked away. Orton walked away. And Triple H simply said, "I always win." And then the whole rest of the show was just everyone analyzing it.
Well, if you looked closely, I don't know if you caught it during the actual finish of Raw, the last thing we saw was Triple H facing dead into the camera, and he mouthed those same words into the camera at the end of Raw, "I always win."
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that this is an actual inclusion of Seth Rollins into what you would be considering Evolution, or are they just going to drop that name and continue on with Rollins just being a part of Orton and Triple H? You know, and I bring this up mainly because of how much they were harping on win or lose, you know, come payback, this was going to be the last time you saw Evolution or the Shield as a whole. I mean, talk about obvious foreshadowing. And what's interesting is that we saw that as the eventuality of Batista leaving, which leads me to the show as a whole. When Batista left, nobody was surprised. And then you end the show with Rollins essentially leaving the Shield, and everyone was surprised. And I don't think a lot of people are going to pay attention to the overall storyline arc that that happened within these 3 hours, but you have to applaud the WWE for doing that. They threw out a red herring. Mm-hmm. They said, this is the acceptance. You know, this is what you're going to take in. And throughout the entire show, you're just like, okay, well, there was the big moment, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then, bam, they stalk you in the gut with this. I mean, I'm not going to clap because I'm holding my phone, but they deserve some sort of applause for that whole thing. Exactly.
I applauded for you, Tony.
Oh, thanks.
I have my phone pressed up against my ear so I can applaud with my hands. Hold on 1 second here. Despite the fact that it's gotten hit pretty hard lately, I actually think I might have a backstock here. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Ah, here we go.
Nice. Well, this is a part of the show where I kind of highlight one segment of Raw that I liked or disliked or whatever it may be. It's my way of saying I'm going to talk for a while. By the way, just to clear it up. Chad, you're more than welcome to stay as long as you want. Just send me a message if you got to do something, and then we'll cut you off. And since you are here, let me just do this real quick, all right?
Let's go!
Chad Perry.
100% reason to remember the name.
Oh,
now
it's been a while.
Officially welcome into the show.
Dude gets Fort Minor? Where's my personalized theme music?
You're going to have to talk to Greg about that one.
I can't get Greg to make me a Harry's Hit sound effect. You really think I'm going to get music, Tony?
I think you should just, you know, play Let It Go from the Frozen soundtrack and, you know, start with that. all right, so my first do is the this is something that I'm going to try to cut down because I could talk for a long time about it, the Steph and John Cena promo. Apparently, well, first the first thing that bothered me is that John Cena comes out all smiles. We just had a last man standing match that was supposed to tear both men apart. That was the culmination of a storyline that was three matches in the making that has had so much history, that started at WrestleMania, that has continued on, hit a little bit of a snag, kind of, you know, a couple of hiccups of boringness, but for the most part, it's been really interesting. It's created Wyatt as some type of, you know, scary monster who would stop at nothing to make the devil inside Cena come out. And then in about 24 hours, John Cena comes out, doesn't mention the match, doesn't say anything, doesn't show any pain, doesn't show any remorse of doing something so dastardly. It's not even brought up. The commentary barely mentions it. Steph hardly says anything about it. She says, like, one line. And then we get into the promo. And the promo itself was another thing that bothered me. He's going serious, and then he jokes about Steph having enhancements when the woman that he's dating has fake tits. I mean, shut up. And then you know, of course, we get the Super Cena saying that, you know, he would like the, what I'm afraid of is that Cena's coming back into the main event. And although it makes sense from a business standpoint, it's just really unfortunate that their fallback in case something happens is Cena. I mean, you got a bunch of people that they're trying to create and make a big deal, and then we get this little promo, which I I really am afraid is just a nugget of the possible future. You know, I get that maybe they're trying to bring Cena back into the fold logically, where people say, oh, okay, yeah, he's back into the main event scene and whatnot. But, I mean, could you sell the beating a little bit? Could you be a wrestler for a while, or is that just something you can't do right now?
Do you want to go ahead and go first here, Chad, or do you want me to?
Sure, I'll talk on that. I definitely agree. It's frustrating, you know. I was not one last night who was getting all upset about the way the match ended between him and Wyatt. I thought they put on the best match of their series. And, yeah, Cena came out on top, but that's just how booking works nowadays, it seems like. As King or JBL kept pointing out, he always wins the big ones. I don't think it hurt Wyatt that much, but then, you know, tonight when he comes out, and like you said, Joni, Cena seems no worse for wear, and then that's the thing that annoys me about Cena's promos. And, you know, I like the guy, the person, everything he does out of the ring, and he is a good in-ring performer, but when he cuts these promos that, you know, I don't know if he has this humor or if it's the writers, I would assume it's the latter, who are just inconsistent of... And we saw it through the whole Wyatt feud. He's serious 1 minute, and the next minute he's making a poop joke. Tonight, poop was substituted for Stephanie's boobs, and she went right along with it. Definitely a frustrating storyline aspect, and, yeah, personally, I don't really want to see Cena back in the main event, but, I mean, I suppose 5 months, 4 months maybe, whatever we had without him in there was a nice breath of fresh air.
Well, the thing is about Cena being back in the main event scene is I'm not sure how much more steam you could get out of the Cena-Wyatt promo after this blow-off here. And we talked about this going into Payback last week on the Raw Reaction where we did our pay-per-view predictions. And go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I got one this time. It looks like I had a better record than you did, and I'm gonna go ahead and ride that horse as long as I can.
Tied 1-1 now. It's all right. Money in the bank will be mine. Anyways. So, I said going into Payback that I thought Cena would win. And I figured, we talked last week on the Reaction about that they might try to stretch this feud into SummerSlam, but I think they realized that after Payback, and especially with them keeping Bray Wyatt off of Raw tonight, and we'll get more into the Wyatt family situation a little bit later, because as part of my Harry's hit, I'm going to talk about a standout performance or tonight for me. In addition, we'll actually cover the match in full as well. And I questioned where Cena was going to go after that. And then hearing his music interrupt Stephanie, the very first thought that went through my mind was, oh, crap, here we go again. It's not that I disapprove, of Cena in the main event picture. It's just the way that they kind of shoehorned him back into it tonight by him sticking up for Daniel Bryan the way that he did. It seemed kind of forced to me, almost like, yeah, I get that they're basically almost family at this point, with Daniel being married to Brie and Nikki being Brie's sister and Nikki and John dating. But at the same time, does that necessarily mean, as was pointed out on the S, that you have to have Cena kissing Brian's ass at pretty much every turn?
Right.
As you said, there was no signs of him selling any kind of effects from the match that he had against Wyatt last night. As I mentioned, I have not had a chance to see this, but I've heard that the match was pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by PGWE standards, I'd say it was.
Right. I mean, obviously you're not going to have a bunch of people blading all over the place or anything like that, but...
Right.
I've heard that the match was pretty brutal, so you would think in the attempt to continue some kind of continuity as far as that goes, you'd have Cena come out selling... And then especially with him getting beaten down by Kane during the match and then partially after the match, and then he just made the superhero comeback on Kane as well. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way as well with the way that they put Cena back into the main event picture.
Right. And, you know, the issue isn't necessarily him in the main event picture, you know. And, I mean, you know, we just said it. John Cena is John Cena. He's always going to be the name. He's always going to be the big guy. And that's fine. It's even fine him being in the picture because you have a Money in the Bank match coming up wherein his name alone would add to the spectacle of it all. It doesn't necessarily mean he has to win, just means that him being there is something that happened to do. It's just there's an issue here with ending storylines. It's like if I wrote 3/4 of a book and then just killed someone off and that's it and moved on to the next one. You know, there's no closure here. Maybe we should give it a little more time. I don't know. I don't think so. Because Monday, you come out, you know, you don't even mention what happened. You want a match, gloat, say something about it, say how tough it was or whatever. Why it wasn't buried, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to say that he should have won. I'm not going to say that the promo really killed him and any momentum he will have, because he will survive. His character is one that's not going to be tainted by this. However, it's an ongoing and continuous issue with John Cena character wherein there's no believability in anything. It's like, okay, well, that was fun. Let's move on. Instead of saying this is what we can build from this moment and from these matches. So it was really bothersome to see. It doesn't make me frightened for the future because there seems to be a lot going on that's positive. I mean, if you look at Payback, whether it be reviews or watching it on your own, it was a pretty solid pay-per-view. Which is why I think Raw, for the most part, juxtaposed to that, was kind of a letdown.
Real quick, in regards to Cena about Wyatt.
Anybody got time for that?
Very true.
Mm. Well, I think the reason that Payback was as strong as it was, and I read Scott Slimmer's review, and I mentioned that I did on the Yes page as well, and I think Scott does an excellent job. You do a really good job on the Raw report as well, Tony.
Yeah, I know.
But I... Anyways, so I read Scott's review, and it seemed like everybody had their working boots on, just based on the descriptions here. The only match that I actually have had the chance to see so far is Sheamus and Cesaro, and it was exactly what we were hoping it would be, except for the finish. And the thing about the finish is it sets us up for more of those two, although given what happened on Raw tonight, we don't know if they're going to go that route with Cesaro, because he might have somebody else on his horizon in the form of Bad News Barrett if they decide to go that route. We can touch on that a little bit later as well. But real quick here, before we get too caught up in here, I think it's time for a quick break here, guys, and then we come back. We got to pay some bills. So this is the Raw Reaction. Chad is the guest. Why don't you go ahead and pick the song, sir?
Oh, do I have choices?
There are a ton of choices.
What's that? How about
there are
some,
a ton of
Evolution theme music?
I think we have that, do we?
What
I
is
don't
it?
Know if we do. He asked for Evolution, and we actually don't have that on here. Greg, get on that.
Oh, how about some good old Freebirds then? Or, yeah.
I think you're 0 for 2, Chad.
Oh, Road Warriors?
Okay, you would think Legion of Doom would be on here. Oh, this is getting ridiculous.
All right, I'm going to take over. We're just going to play...
that works.
Competition, win the war, that's a mission. Not no mercy, see the rain flood the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war path. Here's point number one, just believe that you don't want to talk with them. I'll be your order, then I'm coming to bring with them. You're never walking out again. Put your back on the war path. Competition, win the war, that's the mission. Not no mercy, see the rain, start the street.
that I'm coming to bring, but then you're never walking out again. Throw your back on the wolf pack.
Okay, we are back, fellas. You know, let's just bring everyone back into the fray and see what we got, what else we got to talk about. Where's my buddy Harry?
I'm right here. You're taking advantage of your host powers tonight there, Tony.
I love power.
Which explains so much. Chad, you still with us, sir?
I am still with you.
All right. Hey, Tony, I think it's time to pay some bills.
All right, let's do this.
All right. The Raw Reaction is brought to you by Powerhouse Radio, an affiliate of www.prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. In addition, you can find them on Facebook as well by typing in Pro Wrestling Powerhouse into your search bar. Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by blogtalkradio.com. I'll get this clean one of these days. In addition, we would like to thank our affiliates, Wrestling to the Max, who brought us special guest host Sean Garmer a couple weeks ago, as well as the Facebook Yes Group, which is the one that I'm in charge of, my creation personally. I'm proud of it. And a little bit of a personal plug here, I'd like to mention that the reason I missed the Payback pay-per-view is because I had a show for an independent promotion in the area named Black Diamond Wrestling. It's a bunch of young up-and-coming talent, guys that are going to be sure to make names. I can go off some of the names here. Matt Connor, we've had Chris Hero come in for us recently. Gory works for us on a regular basis. Chase Ahrens. And just a bunch of young talent who are going to definitely be making their mark in the independent professional wrestling world as well as further on. Tony, you want to go ahead and tell everybody about your 411 stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty.
And I'm awesome!
Sorry, it was an accident. No, yeah, you can find me every weekend. The Wrestling 5-1 is up. This week I actually talk about Batista and how great his run has been as far as a wrestler goes and how a lot of people believe that he was back for one reason and one reason only. And obviously, storyline-wise, it's exactly what he did. But however, I did want to give him his just due, so you can feel free to read that. I also do the Raw Report on a weekly basis. That is up right now. This week, as I said, there's not much humor because I was a little bit bored at times, but the show ended up pretty great. That's pretty much it. You can find me, 411mania.com. Google me. I'm also a writer. I sell shit. Let's welcome Chad to the fray. I know he doesn't have much going on because, you know, he's too busy just being Chad. And if you know any Chads, you know how awesome Chads can be. Where can they find you, Chad?
They can find me on Twitter at CPGoat. I am also a fairly active member on the Yes, Yes, Yes Facebook group. So if you want to talk wrestling, people can feel free to add me on there as well.
Nice.
On behalf of both myself and Chad, Tony.
Shut up!
It's not going to happen. I run the host. You can't mute me today.
Actually, since I'm logged into the site, I think I probably can. Anyways, Tony, let's talk about Raw.
All right.
Hold on, let me pull up my format sheet here. Okay. All right, so basically, in addition to Cena coming out and no-selling everything that happened with Bray Wyatt last night, Stephanie actually did hit on a couple pretty important points before Cena came out to the ring. Stephanie mentioned that at Money in the Bank, one of two things was going to happen. Either Daniel Bryan would be medically cleared to return to action and would defend the title against Kane in a stretcher match, which is a change from the previously rumored Buried Alive match, or the Money in the Bank ladder match that's scheduled to happen will be for the WWE World Heavyweight title. I ask you first, Chad, since you're the guest here. Is it a wise idea to have the Money in the Bank match for the title, or would you have preferred a separate match doing, going back to the two ladder match format that the previous Money in the Bank pay-per-views have had, where one was for the title and one was for the Shaw?
I would much prefer a two format. The Money in the Bank gimmick or storyline is something that I think is very interesting every year. For the last almost 10 years now, 2005 was the premiere of it. And I think, you know, yes, it's a very opportune time to throw 6 to 8 guys in the ring and crown a champion if need be to take place for Brian. But in the history of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view by itself, we've always seen two matches. And, you know, had Brian been healthy, I've been fine with just one. There's no point in having two guys running around with the same thing going on for the same title. But I think they are missing an opportunity by not allowing a talent to walk around with the briefcase. I've also heard, you know, a lot of people speculating that whoever wins the match, if Brian is healthy enough, whoever wins the match will cash in on Brian that night. And I think that would still be a disappointment that, you know, the storyline would last less than 3 hours. I like having anticipation on Raw every week and, you know, maybe a live SmackDown here and there that, hey, maybe the guy will cash in, and that will be wasted if they use everything right there at the pay-per-view.
I actually brought up the potential of the winner of the Money in the Bank match cashing in on Brian, but the only way that I could see that not happening is if they actually put the Money in the Bank match on last, which I think will happen since it's the title pay-per-view. Tony, the same two questions to you as well. A, would you rather see two ladder matches if Brian isn't able to defend the title? And B, with the mat, with the way the format is right now, are you looking forward to it as it is?
I always look forward to Money in the Bank. It's fun, innovative, and it's lasted, son of a bitch, it's lasted 10 years. That's amazing. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But anyways, as far as the, this is a very, I don't want to say it's tough. Obviously, they have some sort of idea of what they're going to be doing. But if Brian cannot compete and we have a six-man, let's say, ladder match for the title, then who wins the briefcase? Does the briefcase disappear? Does it make it completely null and void? Because if that is the case, then not only are they eradicating the entire meaning behind the pay-per-view, but they're also essentially losing an entire star-making process, which has been proven to work on Raw, not so much on SmackDown, you know, time and time again. And if they get rid of that or if they lose it or whatever it may be, then I do agree with Chad. They're going to be missing an opportunity. It's just essentially like Justin Watry from 411. I just read, you know, his little good, bad, and ugly review, which I agree, Chad, is probably the best place to put Wes Kirk Light. So, yeah, he kind of went off on, you know, might as well just call it a ladder match, which is exactly what it would be. So I can see his point in the fact that it's eliminating the very basis of the pay-per-view. Why call it Money in the Bank then? But then if we get to your idea where if we have two ladder matches, which isn't an issue at all, would be good, who are the people that they put in there? We're having qualifying matches right now for a Money in the Bank ladder match, which may or may not have the title. So if Alberto Del Rio were to win the briefcase, he would also win the title, which would mean he has a briefcase and a title. Or we'd get six new guys. When do those new guys come into play? Is it going to be a last minute, you know, these six are going to do it? So I think that idea is, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't know how they're going to build towards it. Unless we get somewhere midweek, they find out Brian can't make it, they smarten up, create some sort of storyline that adds it. I don't know. I'm not saying they book themselves into a corner. I'm just not 100% sure how they're going to make this work. I think they're really, really hoping that Brian's going to be okay and he's going to get that match with Kane.
I said, you guys, and Chad talked about it briefly as well, I said earlier tonight that I don't think Brian leaves with the title either way. And I honestly think that if it comes down to it where Brian does defend the title in the stretcher match, if the stretcher match goes on after the Money in the Bank match, Brian's going to drop the title there. Rather, he needs to take the time off to finish his recovery, or rather or not, they want to start building him back up towards the title again like they did after SummerSlam last year. I don't know if I think it's a good idea for them to only do one ladder match, because I think one of the selling points has always been the bookending ladder matches where you had the way to start the show off hot with the first Money in the Bank match, and then you can close it really hot with the second one as well. But at the same time, I just don't believe that they're going to let Bryan leave with the title either, and that's why I think that they're only going to do the one Money in the Bank ladder match.
And we can't call the Bryan title run a failure exactly. Everybody got what they wanted and whatnot. But do you think him losing the belt is going to hurt him? If we're to take the selfishness away and not get upset that our beloved Daniel Bryan is no longer champion and we want him to recover and have an actual recovery instead of one that is, you know, continuously trying, you know, putting him in danger, would we consider him coming back and getting a shot? Or was John Cena's little mini promo somewhat, you know, art resembling reality where when he does come back, are we going to not care? Are we going to care? Are they going to give him that opportunity? Or if he comes back, is it going to be a bigger deal? I don't know. That's why I'm posing the question.
Do you want to go ahead and take that first, Chad? Or do you want me to?
Sure. No, you can go first, Harry.
All right. Do I think he'll be back in the title picture once he does return from coming back from the surgery? Yes. And the reason I say that is because I would not be surprised to see one of the men inside of this Money in the Bank match be John Cena. As you said earlier, Tony, Cena being in the match lends a lot of credibility to the match, and it gives a lot of the kids who are the main supporters of Cena a reason to really look forward to the match in addition to the actual action inside of the match itself. And I think that if Cena were to be the man that came out of Money in the Bank with the title, that Cena would be a man that would give Bryan a due title rematch. Now, if somebody else comes out of the title, I don't know how directly possible it would be for Bryan to get the rematch, especially if it's a case where he's cashed in on.
Chad?
Yeah, it's this whole storyline of dragging out the Bryan thing, you know, it kind of does make you wonder if possibly the injury was a little more minor than expected. I think, Harry, I think you might have been the one that said that on the Yes, Yes, Yes group. Going forward, every time we see Bryan, you know, it's been kind of spaced out, 2 weeks on or whatever, and the crowd still loves him. I think the crowd's still going to be behind him, even if they were to end up stripping him of the belt and, you know, he came back even after SummerSlam. And if that's the time Bryan needs, that's perfect. But if, you know, he can come back now and work in to the storylines and build up to a match at SummerSlam, that's even better. The only thing would be, you know, the long-rumored match had been Lesnar versus Bryan at SummerSlam. And, you know, I feel like you really can't put a guy coming off of any type of neck surgery in there with Brock Lesnar, who is, you know, extremely stiff, you know, from the viewer's perspective, it just doesn't seem like a safe idea. So I'm not quite sure where you go with Bryan, even if he comes back and retains the belt at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I think the Lesnar-Bryan match has to be off of the table at this point. Now, that could be something that you could go towards WrestleMania next year, where if you could have Bryan win the Rumble, which would be a nice bit of irony since he wasn't even in this year's, and then have Lesnar go into WrestleMania as the champion. I think that would be an interesting way to go for them next year. But as far as him wrestling Lesnar this close to coming off of surgery, I just don't see it happening.
No. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm intrigued, but I'm also frightened. You know, there's a lot of good going on at this particular point in time, which is why I think that they're allowing this to go on so long, in terms of, you know, allowing Bryan to keep doing what he's doing and not just relinquish the title. Since everything that's surrounding him with Evolution and the Shield and all that's going really well, and there's a few other things, I think that they're realizing that, hey, maybe the title doesn't always have to be the biggest, you know, focus point of the show. And it's not about Triple H taking the spotlight. It's not about him trying to, you know, say that he's the biggest star, he's the one that covers and everything. I don't think that way at all, but it is interesting to see that they're working around it. But the question does is posed where, you know, how long can they do that?
Speaking of the Money in the Bank match, I guess I'll ask you guys this. Ideally, how many men in this Money in the Bank match?
Six. I think ideally for me, I'd see six. I think that when you get up to eight, it does become a little bit too much of a cluster. So I think six well-established guys, especially if he turns into a title match, would be a good way to go.
Tony?
Yeah, I'm going to go with six. I fully agree with that. Six people, that's pretty much the cap. Eight is fun, but we don't have, you know, John Morrison, Shelton Benjamin, MVP, CM Punk. We don't have that many people that can take that spectacle to another level. I think six is fine, especially what they're trying to, if they're trying to put the title anywhere near the ladder match, then you can't have John Morrison, MVP, Shelton Benjamin. So six is fine because it keeps the bigger names in the frame.
I would say that I would go with eight if it's not for the title and six if it is.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I mean, the problem with eight would be you don't have enough credible challengers if you are going for the title. So.
Right, whereas in an eight match where you're going for just the briefcase there, you could put in a guy like a Kofi Kingston and maybe give a second chance entry to a guy like a Dolph Ziggler because you know that they'll be able to come up with memorable spots during the course of the match, even if they aren't necessarily credible challengers to win it. God, I'm having a terrible time with it tonight.
Let's just pretend that you've drank a lot. It worked for Steve Cook.
Speaking of you, had they not gone with the qualifiers tonight, I think a good way to go would have been to take, and I haven't done the math yet, see how many are actually still on the roster. Obviously, Punk's won two, and Edge's won, and Kennedy. But if you took all the guys that have actually won a Money in the Bank match and have just put them in it, so if you've won one, that's how you qualified for it, I think that could have been a good way to go. I mean, that would still include Cena in there. That would include Orton. So you would definitely have some good main eventers along with, you know, Sandow, Ziggler, and whoever else is left.
Yeah, I really wish Ziggler would have taken that win. I want to shift gears a little bit more. We're going to go to Adam Rose. Harry and I have been, you know, following him as far as in a positive light. I think he brings something to the table. We're not sure what yet, but I think Harry's a little bit more on board with him than I am. And I think tonight is an example as to why I'm not fully sold just quite yet. I love the character. I love the interaction. I love the little things that he's doing in the ring. He's fully sold on the character as a whole. However, for what? I want to say 3 to 4 weeks, we've been building to a possible Swagger versus Rose match, and it happened tonight. And it was about, what, 2 minutes? It was extremely short. It was really like, okay, now what? Is this a chapter, you know, 4 of a 10-chapter story, or is this the end? Is Rose going to be moving on to something else? Do we care? Is this something they wanted to do at the pay-per-view? It just seemed like if you're going to do this and give it only 2 minutes, why not wait a little? Why not do a little promo, give them, you know, a match next week where they have 5 to 7 minutes? A lot of the matches today were rushed. We had 10, and that's a lot for a 3-hour show. Typically, a good Raw has about 7 to 8 with about two of them not lasting any longer than they have to, such as a Hornswoggle match or whatever it may be. So, Adam Rose, is this something that we're going to lead into something bigger, or was this the end of the Swagger Rose, saga? And if it is, who cares? Do you care? Do you not care? Why don't you go ahead and go first, Chet?
I think one thing you touched on there is that, you know, it was like they were building toward a match in pay-per-view, and it was very confusing at the end of the kickoff show last night when they announced the two, I mean, seemingly random matches, and, you know, at least the tag team match should add to a storyline as opposed to the Kane thing. They would have been fine on pay-per-view last night. Personally, I've enjoyed Rose's work in NXT from what I've seen. That includes a little bit over the years of his previous gimmicks. On Raw, I haven't been able to get into it. Maybe it's because I'm so neutral on Jack Swagger. you know, Swagger's not a character I can either get behind or root against, really. So it makes it difficult to care about whoever he's feuding with, you know, unless they are highly established. For example, Cesaro feud was something that was good for me. I don't know, really, though, for Adam Rose, if I see him, you know, really becoming anything too special or if he's just going to kind of fade off. But for me so far, I've enjoyed it too much, but they definitely dropped the ball by just having them have a little throwaway match tonight.
Well, they did face on SmackDown as well, and Rose went over in about 4.5, 5 minutes, I think it was there. I caught most of SmackDown. I kind of fell asleep towards the tail end there. But anyways, as far as Adam Rose go, I'm willing to give Adam Rose a chance because, as I said, I like the fact that he's starting to show a much more aggressive streak at certain points in his matches. I could do without the comedy bits on Raw with him. I mean, that's kind of more of a space there for like a Santino Marella, who we didn't see at all on Raw tonight, or like a Fandango. He's been kind of involved in those bits as well lately. So as far as Adam Rose goes, I expect more from him, but at the same time, I'm not sure where they go from here. Because I don't know if there's another ready-made feud on the roster for him. Yes, he has the accent there, so Zeb Coulter was the natural first enemy. But after Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger go away, as Tony said, where do you go with Adam Rose? One of the thoughts that I had was maybe have Adam Rose align himself with Goldust as Goldust's new partner, but that kind of takes away from the experience of getting Adam Rose over on his own as a singles competitor. As mentioned about Swagger, I don't see anything in Swagger anymore. Honestly, when the next line of cuts comes, I would not be surprised to see his name on it, and that's unfortunate for me because Swagger used to be one of my favorites, especially back when the Real American gimmick first started, and then he managed to shoot himself square in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a case of, where would Adam Rose go from here? And more importantly, would he be a viable threat to any of the mid-card titles? And at this point, I don't think that he is.
No.
Yeah, we'll give him a little time. I mean, he's a new debut, and I mean, as far as the main roster goes. And I do believe that he has a lot of positive going for him. It was just weird that his first program didn't have the focus that I thought it was going to have, nor did it have the care from fans or the WWE alike. Just seemed to be kind of there. And this may come as an issue with Bo Dallas in the future. They both have intriguing characters that are unique enough to stand on their own, but you can only do so much with matches that don't mean anything, considering they're only 2 minutes to 3 minutes with people that don't mean anything to the fans anyway.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Bo Dallas there because I was going to say I would compare Adam Rose to a Bo Dallas here, and I think that the fans are much more into the Bo Dallas character than they are the Adam Rose character at this particular point.
Yeah.
Because Bo's starting to draw... I'm sorry, Chad, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I just said I certainly am more into the Bo Dallas character than the Adam Rose character this far. Yeah.
Because Bo Dallas is giving us a reason to care about him. He's so over the top with his techniques and his tactics and his matches and stuff that it's quick heat, but at the same time, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he makes me want to celebrate when I tie my shoes correctly. Like the motivation is working. All right, he is an arm drag and he does a little victory lap. That's something where you're looking at, you're fucking ridiculous. But it's way better to latch on to that. Something that's dependent upon the character, whereas Adam Rose is dependent upon his foil, and that's the issue with a face and a heel. You know, a heel can grow on its own because it's organic almost in the fact that you're supposed to dislike this guy. How is he going to get you to dislike him? A face, if you don't have a proper foil, he's just another person on the roster, regardless of his posse or his flashy, you know, moveset or the fact that he likes to smack someone's ass in the ring. So he's going to need something. You know, he's going to need something a little bit bigger than what he has. But we'll see. I do want to I feel that I've been talking quite a bit, mainly because Harry can't get a line out without stumbling. So we're going to give him his own time. And I know you want to speak about somebody that kind of impressed you tonight. This is Harry's hit. We still don't have a soundbite for it, so we'll get a little bit of a do sound, I guess. Harry, ready? Go.
That was the sound of me opening another one, because clearly I'm drunk on something over here tonight. real quick, before I get into Harry Sid, I wanted to mention one thing that you said there about how a babyface needs a good heel in order to keep himself from getting stagnant. And the very first thought that I had come to my mind when you said that was Kofi Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Harry's Hit, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to streamline right from Harry's Hit into Let's Talk About Raw Part 3. So, Tony, feel free to stay around right here real close so that way we can get right into it here.
Got it.
Luke Harper can talk. Excellent promo from the big man tonight on Raw, and definitely something that I could see being touched upon more going forward as he steps up as kind of the vocal leader of the Wyatt family when Bray isn't around. Now, obviously, they mentioned that Bray Wyatt will be back on SmackDown, and I think that's a bright idea to save Bray for SmackDown because, A, you're going to drive up the ratings for SmackDown, and, B, it keeps him off of TV in order to sell the beating that he suffered at the hands of Cena in The Last Man Standing, even though, technically speaking, Cena wasn't able to do the same thing himself. But anyways, so Harper has this chance to cut a promo there on the Usos, and it was really good. Now, I've seen Harper when he was back on the Independence as Brody Lee. He was always really good in his character, but it's nice to see that he's able to manufacture that same character, basically, that he had on the Independence, the greasy, grizzly truck driver gimmick that he did there, and kind of adapted into the Wyatt family persona as well. And with in the same prospects, he's able to keep the promo abilities as well, because we haven't seen Harper or Rowan do a lot of talking with Bray there, but it's nice to know that if it comes to a situation where Bray is not available, whatever it might be, that Harper is able to stand up and step up to be the voice of the Wyatt family. So I was personally really impressed with Luke Harper's promo this evening.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, I've seen, you know, I have no idea what he's done on the indie scene. I've seen pictures, and he looks exactly the same with slightly less bulging eyes. But he's had chances to talk, and every single time that he speaks, it's very intriguing. It adds to what Wyatt says. It doesn't detract. It's really one of those things where the proof is in the pudding, and the more you get to hear from him and about him, the more you see that he's more than just a big guy. I mean, he can talk, he can dive through ropes without looking like a jumbled up mess of hair. He's got something, and it's very nice and pretty awesome to see. So I agree, the promo was just more proof too, and it was one of the longer ones that he's done. He's been able to put those words together in the similar way that Wyatt does, but sounding different enough to know that he can stand on his own. You know, the little things in the ring, the gator roll, the yeah thing that he does, he's fully in his character. And like you said, if that's exactly what he was on the indies, then he's one of the rare cases that got to take something that he created and put it on the big stage and enhance it. And that's something that you just have to be proud of and happy as an indie fan, as a fan of wrestling, to see someone go from nothing to something while not altering what he did to get there.
Speaking of promos, I'll let you touch on this real quick here before we actually get into the match itself. You wanted to point out something real quick about the Usos promo, Tony, so I'm going to let you do that right now.
Another two people who, you know, they've been able to speak. The promo started off a little weird. The Usos, it was like, all right, guys, calm down. Let's calm your tits a bit, right? But as it grew in terms of a promo, it got more and more exciting. And you're like, oh, shit, wait, hold on, wait. Maybe these guys do have something. You know, they didn't go from something to nothing like John Cena. They didn't switch from funny to Denzel Washington in a matter of seconds. They were hyped up. They were ready, and they were like, you know, how many Samoa drops? They had the call and response. You know, it's rare that you can win someone over in the same promo in a matter of like 5-10 seconds, and they did that. So it was awesome.
Chad, real quick, you want to touch on either promo?
No, I think you guys pretty much hit on everything. I would agree. I mean, I'm kind of with Tony's camp that I saw a little bit of Brody Lee, more pretty much anything he did with Ring of Honor than anything. And honestly, in the indies, I was never blown away by him. I was kind of surprised when WWE had signed him. But I think he's turned into a phenomenal talent. And, you know, I look forward to his singles matches. And, you know, he should have a very bright future with the way his just his build and the way he can carry himself in the ring and on the mic.
Yeah, I've said before many times here on the Raw Reaction that I think Luke Harper's a future superstar. And I truly believe that because, as you just mentioned, he can talk, he can work, and he has a look that appeals to a wide group of people because he's not your standard, typical-looking WWE superstar. He has that uniqueness about him that I think appeals to a mass market. The match itself here, Tony, let's talk about Raw once again here. And I thought that they were going to add this match to the Payback pay-per-view, if you recall last week on the Reaction. They didn't. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, obviously, they knew that they were going to have both the members of the Wyatt family as well as the Usos involved in the Last Man Standing match. But I think the other reason that they didn't do it is because they wanted to give the chance for them to flourish on their own in a single setting. I don't believe there's any question that tonight, the Wyatt family versus the Usos was the best match on tonight's episode of Raw. In addition, I'm going to take this one step further. And I think at this point you have to put those tag titles on Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. If there is any chance of Eric Harper or of Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, here I go again, ever amounting to anything, even if they get away from being associated with Bray Wyatt, they need to be able to prove that they can stand without him. And I think tonight did a fantastic job of showing that they're well on their way to do that. And in order for Bray to be able to continue his martyr cause, I think it's wise for them to put gold in amongst his ranks as well. And Harper and Rowan are on a roll right now, so why not give them the tag titles? Tony, agree, disagree?
I agree that they should get the belts. I don't know about right away. I think they can stretch this feud out to a pay-per-view to where it matters, especially considering... Well, we don't know where Bray's going to go, and I think that has a lot to do with it. You don't want the Wyatt family to outshine the rise of Bray Wyatt. But, I mean, I don't think it's possible, but still, it could be a risk. So I think that they deserve the belts. I think they're a good, solid unit. However, I think Rowan needs a little bit more seasoning. I don't know if it's just the promos or the ring work. He's good in the ring. He's grown. I mean, you watch one of the first matches that he had versus just tonight. You see differences. You see an actual growth. And that's impressive. But as far as the tag team titles, that means that they're going to remove them from the Usos, and that leaves the Usos floundering as opposed to what they're doing now, which is barely getting out of their shell in terms of promo. So it's tough to say, you know, like if they had a tag team title match on Monday and the Wyatt family won, I would find it underwhelming as opposed to them winning on a big pay-per-view and giving them that proper, you know, this is your moment.
Well, I think that if they're going to put the tag titles on the Wyatt family, I think it needs to happen in Money in the Bank, personally.
Mm-hmm. Chad? It looks like we may have lost Chad. Hello?
Did Chad Perry leave us? Did he leave us high and dry? How dare he?
I don't know. I've got him here. He says that he doesn't know what happened. But it's all right. You know, actually, we've got Aaron Frame in the chat room, and he says that at this point, Rowan and Harper need the titles, so he agrees with you. In a way, he says they deserve it. But he also says that he should have their feud lead up to SummerSlam, where they defeat the Usos. So he's having us wait not just 1 month, but 2 months.
You see, I think that's a little bit too long to wait for them right now, and especially coming off of the biggest loss of Bray Wyatt's career as well. I think they need to do something that reestablishes the Wyatt family as a whole, as a force. And I think that you can have Bray help them win the tag titles in their match and help establish him as the driving force as well, that he still is, to help rebuild him after the loss to Cena at Payback.
Yes.
Chad, are you back with us?
I am back with you.
Whoa, welcome back.
I'm freaking magic anyways.
Okay, so Chad, how you feel about it?
Remember we were talking about it, because I got cut off like halfway in there and I came back. I remember talking about the tag title.
Right.
Yeah, I do think that the tag titles are a good fit for the Wyatt family. I know I've seen a lot of people express concern that the Wyatts, you know, their message wasn't about titles, and so Bray shouldn't be going after belts. But to be honest, I think tag titles need more than either of the mid-card singles belts at this point. And there's no reason that the Wyatts can't hold them. With the tag division, I mean, the Usos have held them now for a few months, and, you know, everyone's very – they got a big pop when they won them, and they're still very, very over. But I don't see anywhere else to go right now. So many teams have broken up over the last 6 months. The Real Americans, Knights of S.H.I.E.L.D. apparently. I mean, outside of these guys, who else do you really have left? You have the Matadors and 3MB. You know, they're busy in their epic feud. So, yeah, it has to go to the Wyatt family.
The only other team that stands out to me is Ryback's, and they've already gone down the Usos and Ryback's road for the tag titles, whereas I think the Wyatt family would be something fresh in the tag division.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Ryback's at all. Before we close up, I want to give Aaron Frame a little bit more.
You're welcome!
That was for bringing me back, Chad.
Let me ask you, in terms of the Usos as an established team, you know, Aaron's reference is that if they go over at Money in the Bank, it could establish that they are indeed the top tag team, you know, a legit force that Rowan and Harper would have to put actual effort into beating. And then the following month, which would be SummerSlam, you give them the win. Do you think that that matters at all? Do you think that they need to be established as a top team or that they already are, considering they have the belt?
Well, not to mention they also – oh, go ahead, Chad.
I'm sorry, Harry. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, actually, I think the fact that they've been able to get their footing down, having Cena's back in his feud with Wyatt as well, kind of established them as the top tag team.
Chad?
Yeah, I think that, you know, by association of Bray Wyatt, that these guys already are established as the top tag team. They got the win tonight by virtue of being anything but the WWE title. Usually a win over the champion does lead to a title shot. So I don't know if I could see them winning it right off the bat. I definitely would like to see them build to the pay-per-view, but, you know, that's not necessarily a guarantee. I could see them switching the belt on the main event, either, you know, final this week or next week, and then having a rematch pay-per-view, because they seem to be big on having big things happen on main event.
Real quick, and we'll wrap things up here. Do you guys think it's at all possible that they might do the original tag title match here on an episode of Raw and maybe go to a clusterfuck finish and then take the rematch from that to the pay-per-view?
That'd be a nice little touch. I do, you know, they're running into each other. They're, you know, they're obviously, and I agree with you, Harry, how, you know, aligning yourself with Cena essentially puts you at the top. Like, you are the top tag team, which in the promo tonight, like, this was step one of building them as something credible. So, yeah, something like that where there's a DQ or did it end in a contest and then leading to a pay-per-view tag team title match, that's perfect. The one thing is we're all on board with the Wyatts winning the belt. We just aren't sure where we want it to happen. You know, Aaron wants it at SummerSlam. Chad and I want it at Money in the Bank. Harry, you want it yesterday. So at least we understand that we want the Wyatts to win, you know?
Well, and I think the most important thing to come out of this is they're actually giving us a reason to care about the tag team division again.
Very true. We're talking about it.
It got kind of stagnant for a little bit in the summer, or in the spring, but now as summer rolls around and they're able to incorporate the Usos into the feud with Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family with John Cena, they're giving us a reason to talk about the tag titles again and not just try to forget about the fact that the New Age Outlaws were the champions for a month and a half earlier in the year.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone that's listening, I just want
to... I'm afraid I've got some bad news!
We are hitting close to the end of the show. We're going to give our final reaction. Chad, not sure if you're aware, but basically we just put it on a grading scale as far as how good Raw was, give a little bit of a reason as to why. So I'll start with Harry, and then you can go, Chad, and then I'll close it up.
All right.
Damn!
That's for you having bad news. And I'm the closer-upper around here. Anyway, I would have said C if not for the finish. I think the finish alone raises the episode of Raw to a B. And the reason being is that they gave us something that we wanted. They gave us something to talk about. And that something to talk about is a very important angle with what could be the beginning of the star-making process of both Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. So I'm going to go with a B.
Yeah, I think with any episode of Raw, you know, it's always feels like a marathon sitting through it. Tony recapping it on 4-on-1 is always entertaining to read, and props to you for making it through almost every week. But I'm gonna go with the B minus. There was more good than there was bad, and the finish was, you know, something that has me clamoring to watch Raw next week. And that's definitely what you want to have, how you want things to end on a product, is for people to be tuning in for the next part. So a solid B minus this week.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to co-sign with Chad. I'm leaning towards a C, actually. I'm going to go with the a C only because I mean, it's probably because of the way that I watch it, the fact that I have to type everything out. But there's the ending. If you take the ending, that was A+. That was great stuff. The beginning, everything else, I just couldn't rise above what I wanted it to be. It was very stagnant. It was just so-so. Harry, you even called it status quo. I believe that it was lower than that. You know, the whole 3MB and Hornswoggle was minute, but still bothersome. John Cena really freaked me out with his promo. I'm a little bit, you know, skeptical about what happens in the future. So I'll go with a high C, which coming from a former college student, those still get you a degree, so it's not that bad.
Chad, any last words here?
No, I had a pleasure being on with you guys, though. I really appreciate you taking my call and letting me get my insight throughout the night.
Absolutely. Glad to have you, man. Chad Perry, everybody.
You're welcome!
Yeah, I appreciate Chad coming on, too. Yeah, you know, I just want everyone to know that I am a Greg DeMarco guy, speaking of which, he celebrated his third year on the radio. Well, radio is a loose term, but yeah, he's still doing it, still going strong. We've got some news coming up in the future, so just stay tuned to his show, my show, Harry's show. I don't know why I said my show, probably because of my ego. But
our show.
Yeah, our show. Keep on listening. Everyone is more than welcome to call in at any time. You know, Chad, he was supposed to call in the beginning, stayed with us the whole time. Can't believe he survived. another one in the book, guys.
Well, he didn't survive the entire time. There was that little bit of a scare there for like 5 minutes.
Quick shout out to Aaron Frame, who joined us in the chat room, just to give a little insight on the Wyatts versus the Usos. You know, he says that if it wasn't for higher education, he'd probably be able to listen to a bit more of the show and call in. So, once again, coming from a college student, one class missed isn't that big of a deal, dude. So, you know, call on in.
That's cool.
He is Tony Acero. I am Harry Broadhurst. This has been the Raw Reaction for June 2nd, 2014, scheduled at the last minute thanks to a scheduling snafu. But, hey, we got it up, we got it on for you guys, and we hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you right back here next week, June 9th, 2014, as we bring you the Raw Reaction. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next Monday. the Raw Reaction.